Good morning. You're right. Nice to be up here and teaching, and really thankful to God for that and for that privilege. And again, when you see the toothpick come out, turn your brains on, open up your hearts, and open up the Word. Don't forget to rightly divide it, too. I'm Paul A. Baalbek III, for those who don't know. I'm just going to go through, as I have been doing, our spiritual blessing series. It's 8/25, 2019. Starting out good with that. And today, the title, it'll be entitled, one of our spiritual blessings is No Condemnation and No Separation. What a blessing to know that. You know how many Christians will be in church today wondering if they can lose their salvation, being taught that they can't? You know, so if we let the Word of God teach us, we'll have no doubt. I call it God confidence, when you understand how to really divide the Word. So let's go to prayer and we'll get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to call you Father, Abba, Papa. Thank you for the intimacy we have with you. Thank you for all the things, Father, you're faithful to bring us through. You are the great I am. You're everything we need. You're in our past, you're in our present, and you're in our future, so we can rejoice in that and be at peace. I pray your Holy Spirit, as always, Father, would you speak through me. I pray for the pastor also later when he teaches in church that you would empower him and use him in a mighty way. I pray every mind will be illumined by your Spirit, and that we will leave here, Father, rejoicing, revived in our hearts, and that Christ would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. I was just going to say, I see Tracy going 8. If you know, even if you don't know how to really divide the Word, some people have some grace truth. You know, like there's some pastors, really, like Bob George was a real blessing in my life. He wasn't a mid-acts dispensationalist. He didn't really understand the mystery in its completeness. All that doctrine that was given to our Apostle Paul for the body of Christ today. Yet, he understood, because he went to Paul's epistles, so he understood all our spiritual blessings in Christ, our identity in Christ. And so I was really blessed through him. But when you understand, you come to the full knowledge of the mystery. And I think we're all growing in that still. You know, I don't think you ever get there because it's so deep. It's that whole body of truth about the dispensation of grace, the body of Christ, and all them facets. It's like a diamond, you know, shining in different colors. And, you know, just for a moment, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, Ephesians 3:14. And Paul's saying a prayer, and we should be praying this for each other and even for ourselves. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, listen to this, according to the riches of his glory. There's riches in God's glory. See, this is that part of that mystery. To what? To be strengthened with might in with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. So just for a little context here, he's been in Ephesians 3 talking about what? The mystery, right? That was hidden time past. God had this whole a message. It was a secret. He thought of us in time past before the foundation of the world. What did Peter say? Peter wasn't preaching that, was he? He said, this is what was spoken by Joel, by Samuel on, since the world began, right? What all the prophets spoke about. That wasn't the beginning of the body of Christ, Pentecost. God had a secret that he kept hid, that he defeated Satan with, because Satan had no idea. And so Paul's saying something here, because you got to go to context. I used to think this was just because the next verse talks about and to know the love of Christ. So I was thinking it was the knowing the love of Christ, the height, the depth, the width, and length. But actually, I came to a conclusion, you know, as you study, you grow, and you learn as you depend on the Holy Spirit to illumine your mind, that when you understand the mystery, the height, the depth, the width, and length, and you understand the love of God, it's unconditional how he's there for us. Last couple of weeks, I've been having a real tough time. I don't know if it's spiritually attacked or what. But what I did, open up this word. I was telling my brother, I read the whole, I think it's 42 chapters of Joel in 2 days. Then I got into 1 and 2 Timothy, and it's just like the Lord energizes you, and he's there with, you know, we get discouraged, right? And God brings us out. He's ever, ever so faithful. So when you understand the mystery, you understand we're not under law, we're under grace, right? God's not punishing us, you know, because we fail him. We do that daily. Where's Bill when I say we come up short daily? I come up short daily, this way, every way. But when you understand how to really divide the word, you understand you're not under law. God's not punishing you. If we're going through something, he's not doing it. And when I read the book of Joel, they were accusing Joel, which you'll hear that in a lot of teaching today. Oh, if something's wrong, you must have sin in your life. So what do you need to do? You need to confess that sin, get in fellowship, you know, because God will take you out to the woodshed and whip your little behind because he loves you so much, right? So when you understand you're not under law, law is if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you, right? That's that whole system. But they were blaming Job for a sin in his life, for what he was going through. Remember what Job went through? How that guy even went through that. But God carried him. God had said Job was blameless. But see, Satan is the one who was doing this. Because he came with the sons of God, the angels, you know, in line when they're giving an account to God. And God said, where you been? Like, God don't know. You know, he's just, give me an account. Been going to and fro on the earth. So, you know that idea I think of? Remember God told Abraham, go, when he gets in the land, go to, walk to and fro in it. See, it's claiming it. So, Satan had got dominion of the earth. Okay, from Adam, right? From the fall. Okay, so he's bragging about it. And God tells him, have you seen my servant Job? He's blameless. No one like him, right? So Job didn't have, like, all the sin in his life. He called this thing? He called his counselors, you know, the three guys, and I think one younger one at the end, if I remember, miserable counselors. They kept saying, it's because you got sin in your life. Now, Job, everybody has sin. You know, nobody's perfect. But that's where it comes to that we know. Because Job said, if there could only be a mediator. We know now we have a mediator between man and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator, right? Well, Satan was behind all this, because Satan says, oh yeah, you know, you got a hedge around them, right? But you take that away. Well, he did that, and Job still says, the Lord, give it, the Lord, take it away, right? Still trusting God. You know, he loses his children. Can you imagine that? His business. I went through that. Not my child, but business. And all these things that are going on, he's still trusting God. But then, it's like us. We sometimes start doubting and asking why. You know, and it's, I think, natural to do that. I don't care. When you go through enough, you know, Satan's attacking our minds. That's why we have to take them thoughts captive, you know, to the obedience of Christ. So Job don't know Satan's behind this. So he's thinking it's God. See? And how many times do you hear, God caused this earthquake or because of sin, you know? Remember Pat Robinson? He said that's why that stuff was going on in California years back. I was like, shut up, man. You know, watching him on TV, you know, God wasn't causing that. But we forget there's an enemy. And that's why God's given us armor that we need to learn to put on. And so, but you look at the end, and then I mentioned about Joseph in the Old Testament. See, all scriptures for our profit, isn't it? We know to rightly divide it, or you're going to try and claim promises that are to somebody else, and you're going to be disappointed, you might get depressed. You might even, there's been believers who turn away from God because they claim the promise of anything you ask my name to be given to you. He gave that promise to his disciples. You always got to ask who's speaking, who he's speaking to, right? And you try and claim that today, what does Paul tell us? We don't know what we should pray for. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, right? But Joseph also in the Old Testament, and then I'm going to get back to here. But I think God's put this on my heart for a reason. Maybe it's really going to help someone else going through things. Joseph was serving God, right? Man, his family sells him into slavery. He ends up in jail. God brings him up. He ends back up in jail because of false accusation. Remember, was it Potiphar's wife? Mm-hmm. He says, how could I do that to your husband? She came on to him. He's a young, good-looking guy. Kind of like me, no. I ain't young and I ain't all that good-looking. But anyway, he's like, how could I do that to God? This kind of guy Joseph was. You say David was a man after God's own heart, right? Why? Think what he did. But he never turned away from God. He was faithful to all the kings in Israel. So Joseph, as if you know the story and how it goes on, he rises up and he's right under Pharaoh. Now, if all this didn't happen, right, he wouldn't have been in that position. Now, there's a principles in God's word that are transdispensational. What did he say? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. That's Romans 28 of the Old Testament, that God's working all things for our good. That's where we have to trust him, the great I am, Jehovah Jireh. I'm looking in God's names that he revealed his heart to Israel, my provider, you know. And God is our provider. He provides for our needs, not all of our wants. He's provided every spiritual need. We're blessed. That's a series that I've been teaching. Totally undeserved, right? And he blessed us up front. Not if you do this, you'll get blessed. I'm going to bless you, and I hope my grace is designed to make you want to serve me. I urge you. in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So sometime, you know, when we're going through things, go back to Romans 8, please. We got to remember God's faithfulness, that when you don't see the hand of God move, trust in his heart. God never does wrong. He can't. He can't even lie. You know, people go, oh, well, God, all things are possible. Well, you know, the context of that is salvation. If you look at the context of when that's spoken and by Christ. But we'll go back to Romans. Therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm sorry, let me just finish my train of thought. I did the ball back row. I didn't let you know. I forgot what I was going to say, but I told you now. I got to be honest up in the pulpit, right? God provides for our needs, Paul says he does. He's provided for every spiritual need, and he provides for our needs. And sometimes, you know, God knows everything, right? Everything. He knows what could have happened, what would have happened, what should have happened. And we don't know everything. So all we need to know is God is for us. Who or what can be against us when you're going through things? And what is God's will? That we give thanks in all things. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. This is God's will. You give thanks in all things. It's trusting God in the midst of our storms. And now we're getting to Romans. When you're going through things, and they're hard, and maybe you don't know what to do, but there's always something to do. You know what to do? Pray. When I lost my business and we went through all that stuff, I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. And then I said, yes, I do. Pray. Keep talking to the Father. Because that's what I did. I just got, because I told you, I went through I think it was spiritual attacks. You know, and I don't say that lightly, but fill yourself up with the Word. That's what I did. And just praising God and thanking Him and thinking of all these spiritual blessings. You know. And so when you understand Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know when you're going through something, God ain't putting it on you. We live in a fallen world, don't we? This ain't heaven yet. It ain't your best life now. You know? Sorry, Mr. Holstein. And I pray for him and Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn and all them for, I don't know if they're saved or not. I can't judge your heart. We can judge your teaching. It ain't the best life now. If this is it, heaven ain't going to be much, right? Benny Hinn said, I need gold now, not in heaven. No, we need peace now. We need strength now. We need to know we're unconditionally loved, that we'll never be condemned, that God's not punishing us, that we can rejoice in our tribulations. And so Romans chapter 8, you know, Paul explained in Romans chapter 6 the mechanics of the Christian life. Study that till it comes out your ears. That is how the Christian life... See, if we don't go to Paul's epistles, because Christ gave him the mystery, right? How does the Holy Spirit function today in the dispensation of grace? It ain't like at Pentecost. It ain't like it's going to be after in the tribulation period. You know, we need to learn how the Holy Spirit functions in us in the dispensation of grace we live in, right? And so in Romans chapter 6, Paul gives us the mechanics of that. We died with Christ. We were buried. We rose with Christ. Right? And then he says, reckon yourself dead to sin, the sin nature. It's there. But Christ broke its power. See, that's the mechanics of the Christian life. And the problem is we don't always apply it, right? We let thoughts come, you know. And Satan, sometimes we don't realize it. We think... we're accusing ourselves or condemning ourselves. It's the enemy, he's the accuser. And that's where we have to realize, you know, and God's given us that armor. So we need to know this, that this is the Holy Spirit through Paul telling us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, don't get mad at me if you don't agree with this, and don't get upset so you don't listen through the rest of the message. The rest of this verse, Bible translators, it's in some manuscripts and it isn't in some, okay? So they have to try and figure out what did the original say, okay? Now, sometimes they make copies of copies of copies of copies. That's how, you know, then when they translate the manuscripts, you know, and there's different groups of manuscripts, and you actually should know how we got our Bibles today. It's important. But anyway, sometimes there would be a note on the side. Well, the next person don't know if it's a note or not. See, because this is almost the same, sounds the same as in verse 4, that the righteousness and law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now go back to verse 1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the next copyist wouldn't know if that was in the actual text or not, and he don't want to miss part of the Word of God, so he would add it in there. So it's not these New Age translations, they're deleting things. There's reasons why. Now, you can choose whatever you want to believe. You want to believe that's in there? I choose to kind of believe that it wasn't. Okay, but that's, you got to make your own choices. I'm just giving you what I've studied out. But anyway, whether it is or isn't, it said there. See, the only thing when you read that, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, it sounds like there's only no condemnation if you're walking after the Spirit. But then I've heard good arguments for why it should be there, because Paul's dealing with people who are trying to bring law into grace. So when you're walking in the Spirit, so I'm going to give you like a two-point of view, okay? That's helping people to be educated. When the Spirit will never lead us under law, right? So when we're walking in Spirit, there's no condemnation, but you get yourself under law. Well, God will never condemn you, but he'll condemn behavior. What do I always say? Paul always starts with who you are in Christ to the saints in Corinth, and later he deals with behavior, doesn't he? But he always reminds you, that ain't who you are. This is who you are, but you're not walking consistent with it. See, it's not God's punishing you. You know how he disciplines us and corrects us? Through the Word of God, right? All Scripture, right, is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. He's for rebuking, correcting, and training. Training is discipline, it's not punishment. Under law, God corrected Israel with physical blessings and curses. Under grace, God isn't correcting us physically. And most of our blessings are spiritual, you know. So anyway, any way you look at it here, I'm going to go on with this, but I just wanted to point that out. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now here's God's divine master plan. The next verse. For the law, that's a principle, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law was given to the nation Israel because of sin. Paul says it. It was their schoolmaster, their tutor, you know, and it came after the promise. It didn't disannul the promise that God gave to Abraham. That was an unconditional promise. But the law was all outward. It demanded, do this, don't do that, right? But it never empowered, you know. What did God do? See, it wasn't until Christ, his death. Why is there no condemnation? Don't you mess up, or are you going to be lying to me now? I said I mess up every day. That's why it's so important to understand justification, that God has declared you righteous in Christ. When he looks at you, he sees Christ. I love that message Dave gave, even smell like Christ. You know, got that Christ cologne on before God. That's part of our spiritual blessings I went over. The moment you trusted in Christ, you were dead in Adam. You were filthy, no good, rotten, maybe moral. But don't judge yourself if maybe we got a religious person out there. Don't judge yourself by your morals. Because Paul says this, when those who compare themselves by themselves are not wise. God is perfect. He demands perfection. How you doing? How you doing? I don't know why I was doing it that one day. Man, it destroys all of us, right? There is none righteous, no, not one. All our human righteousness is as filthy rags to God. We deserve to be condemned. I just watched The Passion of Christ, that movie. If you can get past the religious tradition, Mel Brooks added on there. But why watch it again? Because he really gave a good picture of what Christ went through. Because usually, you know, the Jesus films, they show a little bit of blood and, you know, little wipe a little blood off your head. But that showed, I remember, I'm looking at it, Mary fell asleep. She's kind of unspiritual when she's out of church. No. She's tired, she works hard. But I'm watching them put Christ over that thing and take, and you should have seen, and it's a good picture, the ones who were doing it were enjoying it because they were influenced by Satan. Satan was all behind that. And they take the cat of nine tails. You know what that is? Metal, bone, it's on strings. And they just slashing on him. Wham! Rip! Wham! Then I remember the one come around the front, just skin ripping. And I mean, it's ugly, isn't it? Maybe somebody's saying, no, I hope he stops. Turn my stomach. It's an ugly sight. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, he's doing that for me. I deserve that. He did that for you. One sin separated God from Adam. How many have we done? And Christ is suffering them stripes. It should have been me. And then they nail him on the cross. And remember, he's in the garden. He's sweating great drops of blood. The pressure. He knew what he was going to have to face. And our Savior, yeah, in his weakness, he went to the cross, but actually inwardly he was strong because he depended on the Father. Just like we depend upon Christ and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And like how he made his body available to the Father, and what did he say? If you see me, you've seen the Father. If you want to see what God's like, look what Christ is like. He's loving. And he don't like self-righteous people. But the sinners, he eats with. Imagine how it made them feel, who had been looked down by all these religious people. If he knew what they were, he ain't no prophet. Them sinners, they just roll back their lip with the sinner. They love saying it like that. Christ sits down with them. He loves them. And he tells them, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Grace never teaches us go sin. It teaches us to deny sin, right? Titus 2:11-12. And live upright and godly. And then go a few verses later, and it says, a people zealous for good works. Like I said, when grace grasps your heart, it makes you want to serve him. And I'm looking at Christ, you know. I know it's a movie and that, but it's a picture. And all he's suffering, the Father showed him the cup, what he would go through. And he still went. Why? He loved us so dearly. What God demonstrated is love in this. This God's kind of love, his own unique love. While we were still sinners, we deserve hell. Christ Jesus died for us. Amen. And I'm thinking, he keeps going. He's in weakness. And he keeps going. He's like picking up his cross. And I thought, Lord, if you did that for me, it makes me want to keep going. Because sometimes we feel like quitting. We get disappointed. Things happen in life. And you think what Christ went through. And it was the love of God in him. And so there's people out there, you know, I know, Bill, you wish you would have went to heaven. I kind of do too. Not only you. Yeah. I'm glad you're still here. You know, and sometimes we get down, and Christians don't say, I just want to die. They say, I wish the Lord would just take me. It means same thing. But they just, you know, Christians wouldn't say it, don't want to say it. But, yeah, we're going to suffer. Just because we're in a fallen world, we got enemy. You know, we still battle with sin nature, other people's sin natures, husbands, wives, kids, friends, enemies. No. But in the midst of it, what Jesus say? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have troubles. See, I guess Mr. Joel Osteen, hasn't heard that. Maybe, you know, because he don't go verse by verse, so he could have skipped the verse here, verse there, verse everywhere, verse first, mix it up, right? But in the midst of all of our things, we can have joy if we keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. Don't even get them on yourself, because we'll let ourselves down. Other people will let us down, but God will never let us down. You know, he's a matter of fact, all these things we go through, he's working everything for our good, because there's no condemnation. And if you look, go to Romans, back up to Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, think about it. An enemy is somebody not on your good side, are they? They're against you. When we were enemies, look what God did. God made the move. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. See, that took care of the sin issue. It opened up the door. Christ died for everyone, but everybody's not saved. Because they're still in Adam. They're dead. They're unrighteous. But they have an opportunity. Because God made him who knew no sin, Christ, right, to be sin for us. That we might become what? Who are you? The righteousness of God in him. Who are you? Can we get Pentecostal without tongues up here? Who are you? The righteousness of God in Christ, because you're a child of God. Remember the body of Christ. When you start meditating on things, you start seeing yourself as God sees you. Praise God. That's the renewing of our minds. That's why we got to stay in the Word, right? I noticed when I was getting a little bit of spiritually attacked, I think, I slacked up in the Word a little bit, and that's the worst thing to do. Need to fill up with the Word, because it energizes us, it works in us, right? So, in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. I love Paul's much more, don't you? Much more. Being, all right, it happened, we shall be saved by his life. You see, we're forgiven by his death, by his blood. Every sin we'll ever do, past, present, and future, was all future 2,000 years ago, right? God dealt with sin then, once for all. So now he won't have to condemn us, even though we do let him down. Now that doesn't mean God saying, well, just go sin then. No, God hates sin just as much as he did in the Old Testament. God's righteous and sin offends him. But see, sin was dealt with. So God dealt with the thing that would condemn us, right? The thing that caused Adam for the life of God to leave him. But that's half a gospel. That's what people are taught today if they're lucky, right? Most don't even realize that all their sins are forgiven, so they're trampling the grace of God underfoot, asking for more forgiveness, confessing their sins, because they've been taught that, right? Because one verse, 1 John 1:9, that's to an unbeliever, not a believer. We end at 10:30, right? Just want to make sure. So salvation is, we were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, right? We were in Adam, right? We weren't uncircumcised spiritually. God cut us out of Adam, Romans 6. He buried us. We'll never come back who we were. And we rose with Christ. Now, resurrection means what? Restoration of life. Christ now in us is the Christian life. It's no longer I who live, right? But Christ. I can do all things through Christ. In me. Through me. It's Christ. Who gets the glory? Christ. Can I say, hey, look at all, you know, I'm doing for God? No. I can say, man, I'm so blessed to have God use me. All of us can, because there's none better. What better reason to wake up in the morning than here I am, Lord. You can use me because I'm righteous in Christ. And so go back to chapter 8, Romans 8. So again in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life. You see that again? It's Zoe. There's different kind of life. And the Greek is a lot more defining in terms. Like, you know, love. You got agape, God's love. Storge, mother's love to her children. You got phileo, that's Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And eros, that's love between a man and woman. sorry about that. I was flirting with my wife. I miss her today because she didn't get a chance to sing. She had a bad cold. But Zoe is a quality of life. It's the same kind of life God got. That's what Christ gave us, resurrection life. It's eternal life. Is God eternal? Is Christ eternal? Is Christ ever going to die? Never, right? So if Christ is our life, are we ever going to lose our salvation? Aren't you glad that you understand eternal security? Because it's in Christ. Because you should see on Facebook how there's a lot of people that don't believe in that. They're not taught that. They're whipped every week at church. So this was God's divine master plan in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law demanded, the flesh said what? What did Israel say? See, God was dealing with Israel before he gave them the law under grace, not the dispensation of grace. Like Pastor O'Hara always says, there's always been grace in different dispensations, but only one dispensation of grace. God had delivered Israel, didn't he? He brought them out of bondage, carried them on eagle's wings. Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like the eagle, right? They'll walk and not faint, run, not become weary. I don't know if I got that right. Sometimes I get the walking and running mixed up. But he had been dealing with them gracefully. And what they do? They want to sign a contract. This will be our righteousness. You want to see a picture of the flesh? Self-righteousness? We'll do it. They should have said, no, keep dealing with us on your mercy, on your grace. And so the law demanded, but it couldn't empower. Actually, if you go through Romans chapter 7, Paul's talking about a man on the law, whether it's saved or unsaved. You know, you get different commentators. I think it was Paul, after he got saved, he got himself back on the law. Remember, he was a Pharisee. And he was trying to now perform. See, Christ was cleansing the legalism out of him, just like we got to get it cleansed out of us, especially if you're a new grace believer. Got to unlearn a lot of things, right? So, all the law could do was fan the flesh. What happens when you tell a rebel, don't do something? You watch me. Don't you tell me, right? It's going to do it. That's what the law does. Why are so many Christians struggling in their Christian walk today? They got them under law. Or legalism. Legalism is any form of, you can make up your own laws, right? And sometimes we put that on ourselves. Oh, I know this much as a grace believer. I should be farther along than I am in my walk. See, am I performing? God doesn't want us under any legalism. He wants us motivated, empowered by grace, because it's the Spirit of God in us. That's how He works today. And He says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That's pictured the cross, right? He condemned sin. He was silent before His shearers, right? Why didn't He answer? Remember when they asked Him? They're asking Him questions at His trial. Why didn't He answer? Because He was taking our punishment. We have no excuse. He was taking our punishment. All them stripes, the nails, the beatings, were for us. And why God is so wise. Paul said, right, God be wise. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Do you notice something it didn't say by us? In us. What's the law demand? Perfection. What does God give us in Christ? He declares us righteous. He justifies us. He gives us a perfect standing before Him. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. In us. That's our new nature now. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, there's five kinds of deaths. See, people say, see, you can lose your salvation. Paul's denying that exact teaching. You have physical death. What's physical death? The soul and spirit separation from the body, right? Then you have spiritual death. That's what happened to Adam. And he passed that on to every human being. The Spirit of God left him, separation from God because of his sin. You have positional and functional death. That means if you get yourself under the law, a performance-based system, the Holy Spirit is not functioning and He's not going to produce fruit. You're spiritually alive, but you're not functioning. There's no fruit in our lives. Then you have eternal death. That can be changed while a person's alive. Once we leave this world without Christ, we can't trust in Him then. There ain't a purgatory. I heard purgatory is waiting on the percolator to make the coffee in the morning. I just read that the other day. Anyway. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If someone's not saved, I don't care how religious you are, how many good works you've done, you're a good mom, a good dad, you give to your church, you sing in a choir. If you've never trusted in Christ, you're lost, and you cannot please God. All that good things, trying to earn God's love and acceptance, is as cow manure. Paul had to learn that, didn't he? He said, all my righteousness, what he could do in his flesh, I count as dung. So back to verse 1. There's no condemnation because of what? Christ suffered our condemnation, right? So rest assured. Be secure in your salvation, one thing, and share this with others. Let's love people enough to come out of our comfort zones, ask God to give us boldness, motivated by love, to share the gospel with the lost, and the mystery, Paul's gospel, that Christ gave him, how to rightly divide the word, with the saved. Let's not worry about what they think about us. Because if we were trying to be men pleasers, we couldn't be pleasing God, actually. It pleases God when we allow him to do things through us. For it's God who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He gets pleasure working in us. We're thinking when we mess up, oh, God's disgusted with us. No. He takes pleasure. Not that you messed up, but in working in you and telling you you're unconditionally loved. He loves you at your worst. He don't love us more when we're doing the right things. And so, when we're going through things, let's go to verse 18. I'll be closing up. For I reckon, so I count, I calculate. See, we need to think through these things, not just go to church and I listen and somebody else asks you later, what was church about? I don't remember. You know, or calculate, meditate, think about it, and then apply it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, listen to this, they're not worthy to be compared. Think about what Christ said, for the joy set before him, right? He went to that cross. Think what he went through. I mean, I think we can only grasp a little bit of his mind being attacked, you know, the physical pain. But it was worth it. He thought it was worth it because he knew he could save us. He could provide salvation. And so as we're going through things and we're suffering, or think about it, it's worth being here for God to use to reach out to the lost and edify the saved. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared, listen to this, to the glory which shall be revealed in us. At the Bema seat, our bodies are going to be able to, there's going to be the glory of God radiating out of us. And this will seem like an old bad dream, not even real. Paul talks about our light afflictions as compared to the weight of glory. Let's go to, I got to close up here. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Satan can't. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. Ain't that good to know? Amen. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, I thought it was our best life now. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That means we come out with more than we went in with. The battles. You're able to minister to other people with the comfort God gives you. You're able to comfort them. And it says, For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come. Paul covers everything. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember them verses next time you're going through a tough time. It don't separate you from God's love. Matter of fact, God has shown you his love because he's carrying you through. So let's end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God. You've given us a total victory program in your grace. That even in our weakness, Christ's powers may manifest. And may we get to the point where we can say with Paul, then I'll glory in my weaknesses. Because then Christ's powers may manifest. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. Help us, Father, when we go through things, to wait upon you. And that principle that we'll mount up with wings like the eagle too, because you carry us through everything we go through. And you're going to bring us through and help us to remember the enemy, Father, tries to make us doubt your love. Let us always keep looking to the cross where you demonstrate that love. And I pray if there's one, Father, who doesn't know you, that today they'll trust, that they'll come and receive eternal life, justification being right before you forever. And they'll make that decision today, Father, because we don't know if we'll be here tomorrow. And I pray for us once again, Father, in this assembly and the grace believers that are watching, fill our hearts with such love, God, for the lost, that we'll care more about them, reaching them with the gospel and sharing with them, than we do about what they think about us. And use us, Father, in other believers' lives. Give us patience as we share and allow people to kind of grasp it in their mind and to grow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So hopefully that's been beneficial to you this morning.